Our gospel this third Sunday in Lent comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 13th chapter. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. If I were one of the people listening to Jesus speak today, I'd be more than a little worried. Wouldn't you? Jesus is warning the listeners that they need to repent lest they end up like those killed by Pilate or die tragically in a building collapse. And even better, in his parable, Jesus is putting a time limit on all these things. One more year. There's one more growing season to change, otherwise be chopped down. Jesus of Nazareth has laid down his warning. He has placed on the people an imperative to change, to do something different. Repent. But what is it that the people are supposed to repent from? And how will it allow them as people of God to bear good fruit? Repentance isn't always easy. Let's be honest, repentance means change, turning back from something that has caused harm in some form. But sometimes the things that are being harmed by our attitudes or our actions aren't exactly obvious. It isn't always clear that they're harmful. And so when Jesus is telling those who are present to repent, unless you all perish as they did, I wonder how many of them immediately began to wonder what it was they had to repent from. Where did they need to change their path? I have to be honest, I think we're all guilty of sinning without knowledge, of doing things that don't necessarily seem harmful, but truly are. For instance, maybe I'm stressed out and upset one day and I think hurtful thoughts against somebody who cuts me off on the road or is driving 10 miles below the speed limit in the left lane. Always happens on Paseo del Norte. Sure, I have some right to be annoyed, but how do I know that the person who cut me off isn't just a few minutes late to an important event, or that the person driving slowly in the left lane isn't a little bit lost and the only thing that they know is they need to turn left at some point? If I'm perfectly honest with myself, I know that I've probably been that person at some point. So how can I react so negatively to that person? And yet if you ask me about whether or not I had anything to repent for during that time frame, my first thought probably would be, not really. We don't always think about it. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the listeners in Jesus' presence didn't have similar thoughts as Jesus tells them to repent. What do we have to repent for? We're listening to this Jesus person who seems to be sent from God, and we try to obey his word, so why would we have anything to repent for? Unfortunately, if all sin were obvious, then it would be easy to repent. But as we've already said, repentance isn't always easy. In fact, there are times where we never figure out what it is we need to repent from. And because of that, we need an advocate who is on our side. We need somebody who will guide us, who will help us grow, and in the end of the day, defend and pardon us when we inevitably fall short. Long story short, we need a Savior. We need Jesus. Not only do we need Jesus to be our defender, our Savior, but we need Jesus to help us become more than we are. It's for this reason that the parable for today was so rich for those early Christians who did not know when their lives might end, who often lived in persecution, to hear of the urgency of the harvest, to know that there might only be one growing season left, meant that the need to repent was critical. They couldn't grow over a lifetime because they might not have a lifetime. They had to trust that Christ was helping them grow right now. We can see Jesus fill the role of the gardener, can't we? The one who defends the fig tree from the owner who is impatient for the fruit the tree should be bearing. We see Jesus defending us, claiming us, despite the fact that we're so obviously falling short of what's expected of us. But the gardener doesn't just ask the owner for a reprieve. The gardener then commits to the work of the garden, to dig around it and put manure on it. Only by tending the roots can a fig tree bear good fruit. I wonder if it's true for us as well. So if Christ is still working with us, trying to help us produce good fruit through the power of the Holy Spirit, what are the roots that he is tending? What makes up the core of who we are, the things that inform our daily lives? I think Jesus is working in the things that are central in our lives, our relationships, our church home, our vocations in life. Jesus is working in these things to create something new, to help us bear good fruit despite our imperfection and constant need for repentance. And let's be honest, the core things in our lives, our roots, aren't always pure in nature. Sometimes they're imperfect. Who we are is sometimes marred with sin. Our family may be core, yes, but that does not mean that there is not sometimes pain and frustration in our family. Our church life may be core, but that doesn't mean that sometimes there isn't doubt or sometimes we don't get along with every single member of our church community. Our careers may be core, but that doesn't mean that jealousy or excess ambition don't sometimes cause us to react poorly to situations that then make us and the faith we profess look shallow. It is for this reason that we need a Savior. Because even our roots are sometimes a little sick. Because even though our roots sound good on the surface, the brokenness of our world makes for complications. So how can we, broken and in need of repentance, possibly bear the fruit necessary to survive the wrath of the owner of the garden? Truth be told, we can't. And we'd be foolish to try to do it all on our own. We need the gardener. We need somebody who will take all that we are and put on some manure to help us grow. We need somebody who will take the crap of our lives and make something good out of it, who helps us to look beyond ourselves. We need Jesus. Because if we try to bear fruit apart from him, if we think we can do it all on our own, then we are as much in need of repentance as those who thought that they couldn't possibly be as bad as those who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. For we all fall short. None of us bears truly good fruit apart from the will of God. For all fruit that is truly good should point toward God, not toward us. So, let us rely on God. Let us trust that God's Holy Spirit is showing us the fruit that we are called to bear. And may we trust that in the core of who we are, the roots of our lives, Christ is at work, creating a new thing in our daily lives in which we all may see the fruit that we bear in the name of the one who gives us life despite our faults. For Christ still advocates for us. May we bear the fruit of Christ's labor to point always to his work and his grace. Amen.